take. If you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get loose. Going down for it. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thursday, the kickoff of week two in the National Football League. The Browns home opener just 3 days away at First Energy Stadium from this time right now. The Browns looking to right the ship against the Tennessee Titans. We've got a lot to get to for you here today. Nathan Zagura, of course, Matt Wilhelm with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And here's what we've got on tap. At 1:30, Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill. At 2:30, Browns offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. At 2 o'clock, Steve Weich, NFL Network reporter, will be with us here. And we'll start off with some of the big news of the day. Coach Patton saying, barring any setbacks, if Josh McCown gets cleared through the protocol and practices tomorrow, he will start on Sunday. And the expectation is that he is, from what I'm hearing, that he will get cleared and will be able to practice tomorrow. So it looks like Josh McCown starts again.
Yeah, and I think for me as a Browns fan, that's reassuring. Because of what we saw, the little of we saw of Josh McCown was the type of football team that we expected them to be. So keeps them in their game plan, allows them to run the football, that march down the field, chew up the clock, the unfortunate fumble and the concussion, of course. And I got a chance to speak to Josh down in the lunchroom yesterday, and he's like, man, I didn't want to come out. I was fine. So it just goes to show and puts a spotlight on how this is truly a true point of emphasis by the NFL, that if there's any inclination or doubt in those independent neurologists' minds that are a part of the concussion protocol on the sideline, they're pulling that player out. Josh felt fine. He walked in frustrated. He felt fine after the game. He drove himself home. And even yesterday, you know, it was like, dude, I'm good. It's just a matter of taking those baseline tests, which I talked about on the Browns huddle, having no symptoms, whether it's, you know, sensitivity to light, the headaches that come with concussions as well, the dizziness. If that is all gone, he will, in fact, practice on Friday and play on Sunday, which to me, and this is nothing against Johnny Manziel and his growth as a quarterback, is a sign pointing upward for the Cleveland Browns.
It certainly is. Also today, we will compare, as we did last week with the positions, go position group by position group for both of these teams. Browns against the Jets will do the offense in the first hour, the defense in the second hour. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850 as well, in our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topic. And the question we want you guys to answer when you call us or you tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, or at Browns underscore daily is this. For the Browns to beat the Titans, blank must happen. Again, for the Browns to beat the Titans, blank must happen.
Go
ahead.
I'll go right ahead.
Go ahead.
And it's the same feeling I had yesterday coming out of the radiothon in our 2 hours yesterday. Is as much as I want to put it on our offense running the football, our offensive line protecting Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, whoever it might be, I believe in this case, our ability as a defense to put pressure and make Marcus Mariota feel very uncomfortable. And the reason why is he is a rookie quarterback, didn't play quite like a rookie in week one, so his confidence is extremely high. This would be his second consecutive road game in a row. And flex our muscles on this guy. Bring the heat, knock him down. If, in fact, he's in question during the zone read, hit him, as we saw Terrell Suggs hit Sam Bradford in the preseason. Hit this kid, affect him, affect their passing game, and make them one-dimensional, which I think plays into the hands of the Cleveland Browns.
And I'll go on the offensive side of the ball. Run the football effectively. Offensive line, open up some holes. Isaiah Crowell, break some tackles. Duke Johnson, get into space, get to that second level, make some big plays. They need to be able to run the football and control that clock and allow them to kind of put the game to Tennessee. I think it's important they come out and get up early.
Yes, 100%.
I don't think you want to fall behind again in this
game
because mentally that has, you know, there are consequences of that, I think, on the mental side of things. And you want to come out, run the football, establish your dominance in this game. That's what they've got to do.
I agree. It's your home opener. You've got 67,000 of your best friends there cheering you on. Come out of the gates, and if you start fast and play well in that first quarter, 67,000 people will forget about what happened last week, and they're going to cheer you on and push you through the highs and lows in the second and third quarter, and then it becomes all about finishing. finishing at home, getting back to 1-1, get that first one under our belt, and that taste from last week and the dysfunction that so many people are shining a light on all week long about last week is gone. You have righted the ship.
Do you think, I mean, you never want to say it this early in the season that it's a must win, and that obviously is, it's aggressive to say it, but how important is this game? Can you overstate how important this game is?
No, to me, I don't necessarily think Mike Pettine's giving that speech that this is a must win, or any of the teammates are talking back and forth that this is a must win, because if in fact, you know, or I'll just say an 0-2 team is saying it's just two games, right? That's the cliche after you've had two failed opportunities. That's what you say. Oh, it's only two games. We got, you know, we got division opponents coming up, all that, you know, positive outlook stuff. To me, this is a must-win. And the reason why is all off-season long, with the 12 draft picks, with the free agent signings, new uniforms, renovated First Energy Stadium, there's been so many things that you and I have talked about for the past 6 months that lead us to be cautiously optimistic about where this team is going. We continually talk about the culture. If it has truly changed, you know, and this team, this franchise is being transformed, you should see it on the football field. And that's the one thing I continually talk about, you know, coming out of the Radiothon, being up here on the second floor, you know, here in Berea, seeing all that goes into the business that is professional football, centered around 16 opportunities.
Yep.
You know, we've got one down that we failed. We have to go get some passes. Pass. That's win. We need to get some wins. You know, otherwise, everything else around us will fail.
And right now, this is a team, as you said, do it, come out, do your job, rebound. You talked about the culture. I think this is going to say a lot about this team.
Yeah.
I know it's one game this year, but dating back to last season, now it's
six in a row.
On the wrong side of things. So you've got to right that ship. It's like sometimes it's very tough to kind of turn the boat, as they say, but once you get it going in the right direction, it can help. And I think the only way to do that is to come out and to get some wins for this team, and it needs to start this Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. I wonder, you know, with Marcus Mariota, he had a perfect game, an absolutely flawless game against Tampa Bay. He didn't have to go through any adversity whatsoever in his first NFL game.
No.
Does that help? Does that hurt us? Does that help or hurt Mariota? Because he's going now into a situation where hopefully this defense does what it's supposed to do and play significantly better and puts him in some adverse situations.
I believe it helps us and hurts him. And the reason why, you know, being drafted second overall, having, you know, so much success at the University of Oregon, a kid like him hasn't had much adversity in life. And if, you know, you look at the black and white of the first overall pick and the second overall pick, Jameis comes out and plays the way he does. Mariota comes out and plays the way he does. Just reading some of Winston's comments and saying, you know, I knew it was going to be bad. I knew it was going to be tough at some points as a rookie. Just didn't expect it this early. And you can say the same thing about Marcus Mariota. He knows there's adversity. You don't go 2-14 and get drafted second overall because you're a quality team unless you've traded up, you know, into that spot. And so the Titans know there are many things that they need to overcome, and some of that is the play of the quarterback, which is why they selected Marcus Mariota. So
yeah.
He's very confident. The players around him are very confident, and it is human nature to start immediately taking some things for granted. Like, oh, this game's easy. I didn't expect it to be this easy. Man, four touchdowns, perfect passer rating, you know, didn't get touched, never really knocked down, made some good decisions, got off the field, and I got a rest in my first start and got a win. How good does that feel? If I'm the Cleveland Browns, I know what you constantly know what happened last week, and you want to make this kid uncomfortable. And I would say early and often and exotically by Jim O'Neill is show them something they did not see in the New York Jets game. So Marcus Mariota has to think. And when he thinks as a rookie in his second game, he will make a mistake. And that's where we take advantage with our playmakers in the back end.
I agree. You cannot make it easy on him.
No.
Confuse him. This is a game to, as you said, rely on your talent and rely on your ability now that you're graduate level stuff to throw that at a guy that hasn't really gotten his feet wet yet in the National Football League.
And Nathan, just to expound on that, the graduate level stuff doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, again, the exotic blitzes or this, you know, these funky things that sometimes you can outsmart yourself with. It can be a pre-snap look, you know, of something that he's never seen before, and you fall back into a coverage or man press that we play 90% of the time. So it's us feeling comfortable with those looks pre-snap and still being able to accomplish, you know, what the coverage is or what the defense is. And then it becomes the chess match. You know, Right. Do we give him a remedial look and play something different behind him? Or do we show him a look that he saw last week against the Jets and we bring a blitz off of one side? Well, we're bringing it off the other side this time. You know, we're bringing Gibson instead of bringing Whitner. Situations like that, it's the push and pull, the chess match that I love about this game.
And that's really what it is at this point, and it is a chess match, and the Browns need to not only be strategically superior in this game, but they need to execute once they put themselves in good positions. They had chances to go ahead and make plays against the Jets. They did not do it, and, you know, at some point, you don't want to hear, we know what we did wrong, we've got to fix it. You just go out there and fix it.
Do it.
Fix it.
Show
thing.
Me.
Do it.
You don't get paid to
win.
Talk about it. You get paid to go out and do it.
Yes, you got to go out there and win. The other thing, too, and we didn't talk about it, is this. Take care of the football. Take care of the football. Can't have 5 turnovers.
No.
Can't have 12 penalties.
And we, that's one thing that when we get those, you know, the game summaries.
Clean it all up.
I always highlight, you know, the things that I've been taught to look at, you know, third down percentage efficiency, turnovers in the game, time of possession, completion percentage, especially as a defensive guy, because if we know if we've taken the ball away more than they, you know, more than we have given it away, high likelihood we're going to win the game. If we have possessed the ball more than they did, that means giving our offense every shot and our playmakers every opportunity to churn that clock and move those chains, high likelihood we win the football game. If we get off the field on third down, you know, at a 60% rate as a defense, 65%, high likelihood. So those to me are the barometer of winning football. I don't even have to see the score. I can look at those 4 or 5 things statistically and say, high likelihood this team won the game.
Yeah, it's easy. It's simple in the National Football League. Keep it simple and execute. Do your job. This team should be better than the Titans. They should have. They were opened up before the season kicked off. They were 4-point favorites against Titans. When this game opened on Tuesday, they were 2.5-point favorites against Titans. They're now underdogs at home. And I hope that is being put up all over this locker room. Do players talk about that? Is that like something that you would even hear? Like, listen, nobody thinks that we can beat them. We are the underdogs in our own building against a team that picked 2nd overall in the NFL draft that we beat in their building a year ago, and we're a better team.
No, it's not. I mean, I know Pro Football Talk, both of their Florio and whoever else picks for them on a weekly basis, pick the Titans to win, you know, by both of them. Excuse me. It's not something that's being talked about. You hear Coach Pettine's mentality in regards to preparing week to week, but this is a must-win mentality. You have to have it. And I think for those of you who tuned into the Radiothon, you heard Dante Whitner's apology, you know, to the fan base that was not them. Well, then let's see it. Okay, you apologize to the fan base. The fan base can accept it or not. Look each other in the face, 46 of you, and go out and battle on a Sunday. And I promise you, you have a loyal fan base ready to jump on the wagon and go for a ride.
And get fired up. Absolutely you do. That's all they want here in Cleveland. As Mike Pettine says, they control the volume, and it will be very apparent that they do, in fact, control the volume this Sunday. And that's what you need to get. Good plays, get the crowd into it, much like the home opener last year. As we look at the picture, the mural that is right behind our studio, that was the home opener a year ago. The Browns and the Saints, a game that the Browns won. I remember Paul Kruger's sack right down here in this end zone that got everybody going crazy. That's what they need. That's what they've got to come out, and they've got to do that. 216-578-0850. Call us up. Let's talk Browns. Let's talk Titans right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.